Hey, check it out. You're smoking with your boy Joe Thunder. This podcast brought to you by Be Good Dispensary, our official sponsor. Bringing the latest and greatest in hip hop and the arts and cannabis culture. With co-host Elvis Freshly and DJ Sin. Hey, what's going on? It's your boy Joe Thunder back once again with another banger for you, coming straight from Be Good Dispensaries here at 11 West Hamden Boulevard. You know they got the best, latest, and greatest in all that herb, tinctures, edibles, whatever you need. I got my homie Elvis Freshly in the building.
Yo, what it do?
Chilling, bro. Chilling. I got a one home. Hell yeah. DJ Sin in the house.
Yo. How you doing?
How you doing? I said, how you doing?
I said, how you doing? But I'm doing like good. How you doing?
How you doing? No, I'm just playing.
Yo, we got a fresh one today, right?
Fresh.
Y'all don't even know.
It's going
legend.
Down.
Y'all don't even know. When it comes to people in the city that kind of do like wear a couple hats, man, who do you think of there, Elvis or Sin? Do you think of anyone come to mind, kind of do a couple multiple things besides myself? You know what I mean?
Man, there's a lot of really dope talent out here, man, and there's some people doing cool shit and some really dope cats out there like doing multiple things. Like
exactly.
You got Speaks, you know, out there doing graffiti. He does graffiti. He does music. He teaches. He's, you know, all kinds of shit like that. People doing fashion, everything, man. It's dope. It's really cool to see the city putting out.
Hell yeah.
But man, today though, we got the sick one.
Well, I've had my eye lately on some legends, like from the Food Chain group.
Oh shit, Food Chain.
Yeah, I've been checking out a lot of their albums because I didn't know too much about it back then when they were the shit. I know. I was doing my thing somewhere else. Trying to find the culture somewhere else. You know.
That's true.
But I'm glad I found it because I played you guys on the radio and I've been playing it there and also So Food Chain is on my mind today.
That's dope. Well, today we got a guest, man, that wears many hats. He's a fucking dope MC. He's a sneaker connoisseur, sneaker designer, engineer. He got like 2 or 3 studios. He's just a fucking man right now doing all kinds of shit. We got fucking FL, a.k.a. Flawless, a.k.a. F. Dot, a.k.a. F. Dot Lawless in the motherfucking building. It's going down.
And that's a hell of an entrance, bro.
Hey, bro.
Welcome to the show, bro.
Thank you. Make me feel like somebody.
Well deserved, brother.
Thank you for blessing us.
And then we also got the homie Young Namek in the building. Rolling the 8th
Woods. What's the word, bro?
8th Woods.
The job pack for sure.
You're chilling in the cup. What's going on with you, G?
Oh, man, you know, right now we just got our hands in a lot of things. Like you said, wearing many hats. I'm a man of
so you got to do 8 hustles at least. You know what I mean? You got to have at least 8 hustles so when one fails and you could pick up the rest and just add a couple, you know?
Yeah, no doubt about it, man. So, yeah, we do. Man, we just are locking in our newest location. The studio's called District Audio. We have 3 rooms. A lot of dope engineers as well as producers and video people. Kind of like a one-stop shop we're aiming to be. And we're all seasoned in doing this for years.
Yeah, some dope.
You know, we're doing something special over there, man.
That's real dope. I was over there the other night with y'all. Who was your artist that you were mixing down?
Who was I mixing down?
It was a female rapper.
It was Pepper.
Yeah. Pepper
Annie. Yeah. Super dope artist. She's affiliated with our brand as well. Be looking for some of her stuff coming soon.
And just so y'all know, Amic vouched for me that I wrote a good-ass backwood finally. You know what I'm saying?
He did roll a cool.
They be slacking something, but I've been stepping it up. You know, everything.
It was a cool wood. It was hittable.
Hittable wood.
That's what she said.
Hittable.
She said you were hittable? That's what they say, bro. They be like, damn, look at that fool. That fool's hittable.
She looked at Joe and was like,
said, more bounce to the ounce of what counts, you know what I'm saying? Hey, but for y'all don't know, like, this is your first time, man. Tell them how you kind of made your way to Denver, you know what I mean?
For sure, man. First of all, I just want to tell y'all thank you for having me. Happy to be here.
Thank you.
Y'all are super dope individuals. And, man, so thank you for having me. But really, I got here from all the way from Chicago, Illinois. So I was born and raised.
The shot.
Came from Chicago when I was a preteen, like heading out of middle school to high school. Didn't really know anybody. My family's originally from here, though. My mom, as well as my grandparents. Oh,
so you were coming back to family?
Yeah, so how it happened was my mother was the first one to actually move to Colorado. She got a job working for the Department of Defense doing like payroll.
Okay. Oh, shit.
And so they hired her in Denver. And my grandfather was in the Air Force. And so once he retired, we moved back here. And so that was my first time ever living here, coming from the Midwest. Definitely a lot different.
Yeah, way different.
Some drag racing going on.
There sound like a whole lot going on.
That's a Rough Riders, RP DMX.
RIP DMX. 20
bikes out there.
Yeah, that was going down outside.
Yeah, it was going down.
Yeah, came from Illinois as a kid. Really, like, before I ever started even trying to rap or do anything like that. And strangely enough, man, like, I really didn't have too many influences.
As a young
musically,
kid?
Yeah, for music, like, yeah. I didn't have a lot of, because I didn't know nobody when I came here, right. So, and then at that particular time, really, there wasn't no internet or anything like that.
Right, right. It's hard to get your hands in there, yeah. And know somebody.
And I was young, right. So,
nobody was fucking with you.
Nobody knew who I was, you know, right, at all. So, really, I got my chops, like, through the summers, like, listening to beats and shit with, like, family and friends, and then, it was a year when, like, the proliferation of computers, like desktops and houses and stuff.
Right,
so
right.
I was part of that. Like, it was like my eighth grade year, I think it was.
Oh, shit.
And that's like really where I started like listening to mp3.com and finding beats and like finding myself with the rap shit.
That's dope.
All on my own kind of.
What made you start rapping?
It's a weird story. So I have a cousin out here, and my cousin, I didn't really know I knew he was my cousin, but I didn't know him.
Right, right.
Until like my first day of school, eighth grade, we went to the same school.
Where was that?
At Place Middle School.
Oh, shit.
Oh, Place?
Yeah, Place.
That's where my brother went.
For real?
Yeah.
It's called something else now. I don't know what
it's
called.
Yeah, I was going to say, that shit don't exist no more.
And so it was like second semester of eighth grade, I meet my cousin in school. The first thing he says to me is, I'm a rapper.
Oh, shit.
He's like, I'm gonna write a rap tomorrow. I'm gonna bring it to school.
Hell yeah.
Write one and then we're gonna rap together.
Oh shit.
Yeah, and you had never wrote a rap yet?
Never, not one time.
Wow.
Never, not once. Sick. I was, you know, had a strong affinity for music and stuff like that, but never in a million years imagine I'd be, you know, trying to make
What was his rapper name?
His rapper name was, I think his name was Sko. Sko, like Cisco.
Sko. Oh, Sko.
Let's
go.
Yeah.
So you wrote one?
Yeah, I wrote one. I was nervous as hell.
You wrote it the next day?
I was up the whole entire night trying to figure out
you
a rap.
Practice in front of the mirror?
No, I didn't practice in front of a mirror. I was like in my room with like all the lights, like the lights off, just the TV light, like listening to MTV and like
Damn
trying to draw inspiration from somewhere. Right. You know what I mean? And yeah, wrote a rap in the dark. Brought it to school the next day. Yeah. And you know, I couldn't even tell you.
Couldn't
if we
one
rapped
line,
it or not. Yeah, not I don't even know if we rapped it to each other or none of that shit. I just remember, like, after I wrote it,
wrote one.
I thought it was the coolest shit ever that I could write a rap.
Hell so yeah. Dope.
I started writing.
Did you guys perform it the next day?
Nah, like,
that's
I don't
what
even
said.
Think
you
I don't
know.
Even
yeah,
think
yeah
we
you don't even
all,
remember.
Bro. I don't remember rapping it.
Marijuana fix memory.
We just wrote it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And like never did it, but like there was other times like after that, like we was, we'd be like after school, cause you know we was latchkey kids, so mom's still at work while
right,
we
right.
after school, so we bullshitting, go across the street to like the rec center or to one of the homies' houses, and we sit there and rap and shit, or act like we're writing, and yeah, we just kind of built it up from there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And actually, like it became a thing, like through. From that, like through the whole summer, and then eventually we started meeting other friends. We had another friend that actually had a studio in his house, and that's like when we started like actually rapping.
Who was that? You remember?
Yeah. His name's Ray Coop. Rest in peace, my man. Ray Coop.
Rest in peace.
It was just a mutual acquaintance of both of us. It was really our mutual acquaintance was Ray Coop's friend, and he's the one who brought us through there. And then he just liked that we wanted to rap, so we would just go over there every day and write.
Give y'all
shit.
A chance, right?
Yeah. He was young like us, and just like, you know, his mom like got him some shit to record with. He already had a computer, and his mom like we was like around like right after she got the shit. Like she got some of the shit, and then like she was bringing more shit to this like little studio in his room and shit. Like bought him some speakers, some better speakers, and it was dope. Like we all built together. Like none of us had no idea what the hell we was doing, but
this experimentation,
no direction. Yeah. You didn't have your identity yet.
None of that.
What helped you kind of find that? What was some of the?
It's gonna sound crazy, but like it was. The internet. this is like when the internet finally started like popping off.
Popping.
There was message boards, public forums.
Yeah.
And they had a public forum called, what was it called? Rapmusic.com. And on rapmusic.com, they had message boards where people would like, they had the text version, like you write your raps on the computer,
right,
and
right.
post it, and then they had an audio section.
Six. And you so, upload your
yeah,
song.
I had no idea this existed. The homie Ray Coop had put us onto it, and then like, I was one of the people that like latched onto it. I thought it was dope as hell because, like I said, we didn't have no inspiration other than us trying to figure shit out. Right. So we got on this rap forum and shit, and we would make songs and post them on the rap forum, and we just like that was our rap community.
Your
originally,
MySpace.
You know what I'm saying? For real, yeah. I was like Black local, Planet era.
As I was about to say, Black Planet.
Nah, I didn't really find nothing like local. All over. Like we had like it was like AOL Instant Messenger and shit like that. Here and there'd be a couple people like, I want to do a song with you. You get their Instant Messenger handle and you sending emails back and forth with the songs and shit. Yeah, that's yeah, tight. And yeah, that's really like that was how I got like I found myself. That was beside my homies that we was rapping with every day.
Right.
That was the people we were interacting with. Like we were posting this. That was our outlet. You know what I'm saying? We think our shit's tight because we're the ones who made it. You know what I'm saying? We're the only ones that's circulating around. But we post it on there and get some outside feedback.
Someone from across the room will be like, nah, that shit's not that cool.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it was plenty of that. This shit is trash. Plenty of those.
Yeah, trolling back in the day.
Yeah, that's how the graffiti game kind of was. You know, people used to have to
Fresh Sights.
Yeah, Fresh Sights, a 12-ounce.
Oh,
puppet.
12 ounces.
Yeah,
baby.
Fresh Sights. You're talking about Denver shit. You're like, you're on some like whole other. That shit was tight. But like,
nah, 12 ounces went down like, though.
That shit's fucking whack. Don't let me see that train in my yard. I'm gonna cross your shit out.
Damn.
Yeah, but that's tight though. Like they had that for the music scene, and people were sharing shit like that.
Yeah, that was different. It didn't last that long.
No.
It was like. We were
new
like,
new stuff was coming out.
Yeah, new stuff was coming out.
Technology,
and then like,
shit.
When I finally hit high school, that was like, okay, now there's more people who rap and shit. So that's when I really got cold with like freestyling in school. And that was like, after kind of like that part, going to high school and like freestyling, and that was like more finding myself too, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that
was
starting meeting people and shit too.
Yeah, more people that rap, like locally,
right,
you know what
right,
I'm saying?
Right, locally.
So that was like more finding myself. Like I started finding myself with the online shit, but I really found myself locally, like
in
freestyling.
Vibe, yeah.
Being different places, interacting with a bunch of different people.
Dope.
Started betting money on freestyles and a bunch of other shit, you know what I mean? Yeah, I was a battle rapper.
I know how you said you only had influences you didn't have any influences, just each other. But who are like some of your rap influences?
One of my biggest rap influences was Talib Kweli. And then another one was Raekwon.
Raekwon.
Was a huge inspiration to me. I thought Raekwon was like the dopest.
Talking to Mike.
The dopest.
My bad. I thought Raekwon was the dopest,
so
but
fresh,
one of my big inspirations for like making music, like how he made it, was Talib Kweli.
That's tight. Talib was my shit too. That's a fresh one for sure.
My homeboy freshman year is named Kevin Kiddo. Shout out to Kevin Kiddo. He put me onto the Reflection Eternal album. I had the Cannabis album.
Bro.
And we traded.
That shit was hard as fuck.
We traded albums.
No shit.
And when I heard, that was the first time ever hearing the album, I thought that was the dopest shit. Like, I let the homie keep the Can I Bust album. Like, I want this.
That's so funny.
Like,
I said all my first shits that I was listening. That was like, this is my music. I need to latch on. You know, this is what I like.
Hell
Talib,
yeah.
Can I Bust, though? That's funny that you even said that.
Yeah, Cannabis, Can I Bust album.
Can I Bust. That shit was hard.
Hey, what made you take that step to freestyling? Because then you weren't freestyling at first, right? You were pretty much kind of writing when you guys were making the songs. Then you kind of said, I'm going to just start. Was it the high school thing? Or
it was high school and just like different environments. You know what I'm saying? We was kicking it. It was a lot of kickbacks going to the homie's house, bullshitting, you know?
Yeah.
And yeah, that's really where that started. Like, one of the homies, he had a PlayStation generator on his PlayStation.
What, make the beats?
Yeah, so we did school, go to his house, be bullshitting over there, smoking weed, you know, hanging with females and so on and so forth. And he'd be making beats and shit, and so he'd turn the beats on, and we'd start freestyling. Niggas would start freestyling, and
so those original beats you were freestyling too.
Yeah, off the MTV generator.
Is that what you were mostly freestyling off of? Or did you like, were you downloading other instrumentals and shit like that?
I was downloading instrumentals too. Yeah. There was a website at the time called MP3.com.
Yeah, I remember
MP3.com. MP3.com had all the beats on there, but you couldn't download them off of there. Yeah. But like I said, I was on the message forums. They figured it out on the forums and they gave them the sauce. Like, here's how you
send
do
that
it.
Shit
so
to you.
I was ripping all type of beats off of there.
Yeah, that's dope.
Do you still freestyle?
Not really. I don't really. I'm not as active with the rap stuff as I was.
He's actually gonna make his debut here.
But could you?
I could.
Yeah, he's gonna make his debut. He said at Lazy Sundays.
Yeah, it's like riding a bike. Yeah. You don't never lose that.
Yeah.
You don't never lose that.
We were talking the other night. He says he might make his debut on the next Lazy Sundays with Kingdom and Bumpy Chill. Oh, I hope y'all hear this.
My guy, shout out to Kingdom and Bumpy, man.
We got some OGs. So I think we might be able to persuade him, some weed too, some great bars, some Zah packs. I mean, fuck. Who don't like to rap for weed for real? You give me ounce weed, bro. I'll rap right now, hours straight. That should be motherfucking cracking.
Don't nobody want to give you an ounce of weed.
That's just like, hey, we accept donations out there. So, hey, if you think your boy Joe Thunder needs some weed, maybe DJ Sid needs some 12-inch, records. Elvis needs some more, I don't know, what do you need, Elvis?
Man.
Shoes.
More weed?
Nah, man. Shoes,
huh? He needs backwoods, actually.
Elvis? Some wood. I need more backing to support my friends. That's all I need.
Yes.
I need more paper to support my people.
I love that.
That's what there we got.
We need more strategy. We need a better strategy. My people's come fuck with me. Let's make moves.
We're going to make that happen. Yeah. That's what we're doing here.
I know that's you already know. You already know.
That's what it's all about.
So what happened after that, man? Because then after you started, you said you start killing the freestyle with the coldness. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So shortly after that, I kind of got a couple other friends of mine throughout high school that really was serious about the music shit like I was. Two of them in particular, we formed a group together. We formed a group called Ace Gang.
Ace Gang.
It was just like a couple of homies from the hood.
Can you find that on YouTube
There's probably no remnants of that shit on the internet.
Where were you guys at?
We was out here. We was in Denver.
In Denver?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we was in Denver. One of them is still rapping to this day. He doing his thing. He has his whole collective called Interstate Money Gang. He's starting to blossom and doing his stuff.
Dope.
Another one of them, he just kind of went to the more of the behind the scenes stuff. And he's doing his thing with a collective of people. So everybody's still kind of involved in the music, but I'm the one that became the most popular, I guess.
Yeah, did some tight shit.
Did some different shit with it. And then with the group, we were together. We dropped a project together, I don't remember what it was called. It was called like Ace Gang Volume 1 or something like that.
All right,
we pressed up the shit ourselves, pressed up the CDs. The homie had a CD writer, but it had a laser designer on top.
Oh, shit. You got the engravings on it.
Yeah, put the laser engraving.
You had to get the right CDs, though, to do it.
Yeah, they were expensive as hell.
Damn, I don't remember that shit.
They were expensive as hell. And we put out a project, man, and then...
what a time.
Shortly after that, they all got... everybody went to prison. I was the only one that didn't go to prison. So,
damn.
And that's kind of where... That's kind of where the rise of Food Chain began. Mm. Prior to all this happening, I had met, Michael was one of the first people I ever met coming to Colorado. We had the same barber, shout out to Gil, Gensu Gil. And like I said, I was freestyling and shit at the time, so like at the barbershop, sometimes somebody puts some beats on and there's some freestyles. There was a guy in particular, my man Black, rest in peace. He was a barber and he was a rapper and a producer. Mm. So they had like a little setup in the back of the barbershop and they'd be playing beats and shit and I was freestyling in there. And so that's how Gil caught wind of me. Mike at this time was already already established himself doing other stuff in the music world, producing for some of the Colorado legends like Nike Nitty and Interstate Ike.
Right.
Kofax Kack.
He's doing some of the sicker shit. That
was
even coming
some
out
of the too. Legends, you know what I mean? He was working with some legends.
And they're good shit.
Hell yeah. And so Mike comes in to get his hair cut, and the barber, our mutual barber friend, he tells him about me. And at the time, I'm I think 15. So Mike brings me to a couple of different studios, and he plays some beats, and there's another producer he introduced me to named Akil. Akil's also now part of Food Chain. Shout out to Akil. And so... at this particular time, it just didn't work out. We ended up not making any music, anything like that. I was kind of into the streets as well, too, so I was kind of hard to get in touch with.
Right.
I just kind of rocked with the people I rocked with, and I was kind of out of the circle, you know what I mean? And after all my friends went to prison, shortly after that, I got shot.
Oh, shit.
And after I got shot, I kind of chilled for a minute. I had bought all the studio equipment and had it sitting for like a year before I actually used it.
Damn.
And then after I got shot, I had some time to put it together.
Right.
So I put it together, yeah. And then that's kind of when me and Mike got reconnected. I was doing shit, just me at the time, because my group, everybody's gone, so I started doing more solo shit. I ran back into Mike at the barbershop. We linked back up. He started sending me some beats. Started rapping on them, sending them back and forth. And then he started bringing people through to my little studio I had at my people's house. This is at my grandma's house and shit. And so...
Shout out grandma's, hey man, holding it. My grandma's one of the realest people I've ever met in my whole life.
She holds it down. See, I, this food chain tat I got on me, my grandma got
Grams
one.
Got it.
Oh, shit. That's dope.
My grandma would show up to shows. Hell, my grandma be in the front row with her hands up at the show, packed show, turning up, real shit. So shout out to Granny, man. Love you, Grams.
Hell yeah.
And so he would bring different people through, and then he brought. First person he brought was Oren, Champion O. Brian L., Sound Killer Black. That's a very long name, but we just call him Champion O, or Champ. And member of Food Chain. At the time, we were just kind of vibing, you know what I'm saying? We made a dope-ass record, and then Champ started coming more often. Then he brought C1 through. He brought C1 of Food Chain through, and so we all made some records together. They were all really dope. Then we brought another producer through, and that producer was Mass Prod. Avenue Pride. And Pride is one of the dopest producers I've ever met in my life to this day. Yeah, shout out to the
East Side Up.
Shout out to the E. And once he brought him through, at the time, Mass Prod was producing out in Atlanta for a bunch of people doing this thing. And he started sending these beats through while he was still in Atlanta. And we started rocking these beats and we were coming up with some dope shit. And so Mass Prod came back to Colorado. And then we made this one particular record, and it was like our really first record that we put out. It was called Autopilot. We put this record called Autopilot together, and we fucking killed it. And then, like, that was like the thing. That song was like, okay, maybe we got something. Maybe this what we doing. Like, this other shit is tight, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
But, like, this particular combination of people is really good.
Right.
Like, let's see where this goes. So after we did that song, we did three songs in like one night, and it was like, okay, like,
this
shit
is dope. This shit is dope. Like, we should do a mixtape together. Right. It wasn't even like, let's be Food Chain yet. It was like, let's do a mixtape together. What we've made so far is dope as fuck. And we cooked up maybe like another five or six records and had the mixtape. And then a couple people that were involved in the mixtape, we were like organizing a show to go with this mixtape to promote it and stuff. And then a couple of the people kind of just fell off. They fell to the wayside and take it that serious as we did. Mm-hmm. And then we dropped this mixtape and it just became this thing. Like, people were calling us a group. And then Mike had been secretly like sending these records off to like publications. And then so out of nowhere, without even having a website or doing a show yet, even. We hadn't even done this show yet. We were Westward's best new group.
Shit started popping, huh?
Wow.
And it was like, yeah, out the gate. Like, it was completely unexpected.
Damn.
Like, we gotta
done the show yet.
We gotta do this fucking show. We had just dropped the tape.
Damn.
Just dropped it. But we already, like, he was pushing this Autopilot record and like,
you weren't even a group yet. You didn't even
Yeah, it wasn't even a group yet. It was just a mixtape. And then Westward really is who made us a group. Westward called us, because the mixtape was called Food Chain, and they like, I don't know if they misinterpreted, misread it, however it was labeled, however
they
Mike did it.
You guys were a Food Chain.
They called us the food chain. And so, yeah.
So you're like, saying the Westward came up with the
Mike,
name?
Mike is the brainchild. Mike, this is, we're Mike's brainchild. Mike put us all together and put us in this room and created this shit, but formally, the first people to call us a group was the Westward.
All right, called you the Food Chain.
The Food Chain. The best new group of Denver that year. You know what I'm saying?
Do you remember what the year that was?
Ah, shit.
I know he smoked a lot of weed.
God damn, bro.
I think it was at least 10 years ago. 2009?
I was going to say like 8 or 9, right?
2008 or 9. Yeah.
That's 2008. That's what I was going to say.
That's one of them. It might have been 2008.
Because that was when my son was born, and I feel like that was when I first heard that. I remember the Westward dropping that.
Yeah. I think you're right, actually. I think you're right, because we dropped our first album. We dropped the EP, and that's like what these records, this Autopilot and all these other records that people really liked was on. It was the EP, Food Chain EP Volume 1. And then 2009 is when we dropped an album called Corpses, our first like full length album.
Right.
And
right,
then right. That's really where we kind of took
kick off right there. Yeah,
and then
that shit was
before fun. I know it, I see you guys everywhere, all the shows, all the clubs,
everything,
50 deep.
Yeah, yeah.
With fucking CDs and stickers for everyone, just bombing the fuck out of that shit.
Yep, we was everywhere with them damn projects,
bro. Do you remember that too, Elvis?
Yeah. I feel like we
I didn't experience that.
Oh, no, that shit was hard.
I remember seeing
revolutionized the game, I feel like, in a lot of ways. Like, there was a time where, you know, everybody was selling their CD, like $5, 10 bucks, whatever. Right. We were everywhere, and I mean everywhere.
Everywhere.
In Colorado, giving that motherfucker
any
out.
Show that was going on. Mm-hmm.
That was the game changer.
Was there a show where you were like,
This is the one. This is how I know.
Yeah.
We did a show. We did two shows in one night. We did a show in Boulder with Zion I.
Okay.
Shout out to Zion I. And they showed us a lot of love.
He's
going to
be on the podcast in November, dog.
Was it at the Fox?
It was at the Fox Theater. Yeah, yeah. That was our first show in Boulder at the Fox Theater. And then after that show, we got on. We were like the second act to go on. We were trying to be first, but they put us second. They really wanted to put us direct support for Zion I, which we became later. But we had this other show. The other show, there's a story behind this show, too. But the other show was Talib Kweli in Fort Collins. Shit. And Talib in Fort Collins was, that was like the big show to us. So we did this show, and then we smashed all the way to Fort Collins.
It was all on the same day, right?
Yes, same day. We were direct support for Talib, so we had a small window of time to leave from this show.
There.
I'm talking about
that must have been so amazing, that being your influence when you were young.
Oh, yeah. That's
like to be able to dream come true.
Dream come true for sure. I got a song with him and everything. I'll talk about
that. You got a song about that.
But, like, we fucking flew from Boulder to Fort Collins. We were in two Suburbans. And one of the Suburbans got pulled over because we were speeding and shit. Somehow, I don't know how to this day, somehow we made it on time. We're walking through the crowd to the stage with all our fucking equipment. You know, we had a drummer, DJ. We got a whole setup. We walking through the crowd. You? And we walking through this crowd, everybody stops, looks at us, shit, we go on the stage, and then we fucking murdered it to the point that Talib came from the back of the green room and watched our whole show from the side of the stage. Oh, and when we
you
were
could
done,
see him watching your show?
Yeah. Oh, shit. He was watching the show. And then after we were done, our show was done, we went downstairs, and Strong Arm Steady's there. Talib was on tour with Strong Arm Steady.
Yeah.
And so Talib comes downstairs and shakes everybody's hand, asks everybody our name and all this shit. And then during his set, is freestyling in the beginning of his set and is like bringing up our name in his freestyle. And like the fucking crowd is going crazy every time they mention us and shit. And that was when I knew, like, okay, we might have got something here.
Yep.
And that was really how we secured a greater future in the music world from that meeting. Talib, and there was like I said, there's a story behind that show to even acquire that show.
Right.
We were chasing down two people in particular. One of them, his name is Johnny Schumann. Shout out Johnny Schumann. Johnny Schumann is now like the big West Coast guy for AEG.
Yeah, AEG,
He's the man. His humble beginnings was as a club promoter, SoCo Clubs, and we were the first group that he ever like managed and shit. But prior to ever managing us and shit, C1 knew him, and we're going to clubs, like I said, passing this music out and shit, and we seen Johnny Schumann, and we pestered the fuck out of Johnny for like 3 weekends straight. Like, we're 15 deep, like, yo, Johnny, like, he's trying to dodge us, avoid us and shit. He ends up coming to one of the shows that we had did and was fucking with us. And so we did this show with Talib, and then Talib is like Johnny's homie, you know, they're really good friends. And like, once Johnny found out about this show, he was like, okay, let's tap in. And then we did a headlining show at a club that doesn't exist anymore, Club Sutra. And we packed it out, and I was like, okay, you guys got something. Yeah. So that was kind of like,
that's how you got the Talib show.
Yeah. Now, well, we didn't get the Talib show because of that, but that was how, like, we got... The Talib show is how we linked with Johnny.
That was how...
And really, Johnny and Francois.
I see.
Right.
Do that show.
You know how I met Johnny? Funny story. This cat, Mr. Verbal, He used to sell CDs like on the streets for a living.
Mr. Verbal. Yeah. Everybody.
I know his real name. Mr.
Yeah, Xavier.
Yeah, Xavier. X.
So
X,
yeah. So Mr. Verbal took me over to Johnny's because Johnny had a CD burner, and Johnny would burn 100 CDs for you for like 10, 20 bucks.
Yeah.
And like you said, we was getting CDs out back in the day, you know, selling them, giving them out, whatever. So, yeah, he introduced me. And like you said, man, that was a long time ago, but shout out.
Shout out to Mr. Verbal,
Mr.
man.
Mr. Verbal. Yeah, I know. Shout out to X, said it, bro. Man. I bought a CD from him every time I seen him.
Yeah, you probably had bought like 10 of them, right?
At least. The same one. Like, at I bought least. It the same.
You know what I'm going to tell you real quick? Like, if you have one of those CDs, there might be a Joe Thunder verse on one.
I bet you.
There's only one out there.
There's only one out there, but. I don't have one CD.
I got them at the crib. I got them at the crib.
There might be a young FL Freestyle on one of them fucking mixtapes, too.
Nah, you don't want to hear Joe Thunder back in the day. You want to hear Joe Thunder right now, free flow, you know what I mean? But not back in the day. Not back in the day.
Right now, not back in the day.
Oh, don't make me get crazy. I have to battle you and then breakdance fight you.
Oh, definitely don't want that.
He
said you don't want
to hear. Hey, so from all that shit, you end up getting the track with them, right?
Yeah, man. So we ended up getting signed by a major independent called Show Off Records. Show Off Records is owned and operated by a guy named Static Selector.
Oh, right.
What year was that?
This is 2009, 2010. Okay. We dropped our Corpses album. We're making a huge buzz, linked with Talib. And then we started getting, like, after we dropped this record with Talib, we started getting national attention.
Right.
We started getting on major blogs at the time.
Hey, like, what was the name of it, real quick, of the song?
The song? Yeah. Fuck Niggas.
There you go.
With two C's. Fuck with two C's.
Fuck Niggas.
Of course.
Naturally. Of course, naturally. And it's my guy Champ, and then myself, and then Tyler comes right after me. So we did this record with him, and then we got a deal, and then we actually started building a relationship with Tyler from there. And so we went on tour with Tyler in New York, and we did like SOBs. We did Brooklyn Bowl with him, and I don't remember. I can't remember. Don't quote me on this part. I think Questlove was like the house DJ for the night.
All right.
He didn't DJ our set or no shit like that.
Right.
But I think
but
he was
the
house
DJ,
DJ
yeah,
for the night at the the bar. So Brooklyn Bowl, if you don't know what it is, it's super dope.
Yeah.
It's like a venue, a restaurant, and a bowling hall or whatever you call it. Bowling alley, excuse me. And so we did that shit and did some other shit in like the East Coast. And that was a turning point for me, for sure, because like I told you before, like Reflection Eternal, that album was like monumental
bro,
for me.
Inspirational,
you know?
For me, bro.
Huge album, man. And
for sure.
To be able to share those moments and like link with him and talk with him. Like
I've had with him, all that good shit.
Long, deep conversations with Talib Kweli about a variety of different things, man.
Now, real quick, he gets a bad rap. You always hear the nicest shit about him.
I know. I'm going to say it straight like this.
He is uncut.
Talib is one of the realest niggas I ever met in my life.
So real.
There you go.
Straight like that.
I tell you like it is.
Straight like that. And it shows love. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, really one of the only guys, not one of the only, but one of the first guys to like, I see you down there. Let me bring you up here.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And that was life changing in a lot of ways to this day for me. You know what I'm saying?
Like you said, that took you to the next level. You know what I mean?
Took me to the next level in a lot of ways. We were on every national publication, you know what I'm saying? We were XXL, Source, Two Dope Boys, all the major blogs, you know what I'm saying, of the time. And he supported us. We almost signed a deal with Talib after our deal was done with Static Selector, you know what I'm saying? And still to this day, still got a good relationship with him, you know what I'm saying? Real solid dude.
Right.
So shout out Talib.
Major shout to him.
So right when shit started getting going, I mean, it was going on for a minute, then everyone just kind of pauses, right?
Yeah. So at the time we were pretty busy. We were doing
like
a lot of
like a motherfucker, huh?
Yeah,
getting
we
bread.
Were everywhere. We were everywhere. And the getting bread part. Let me clarify.
It is
that.
Hard
yes.
with a lot of people.
Yes, we
you
were
gotta
getting
admit that.
Money. We were definitely getting paid for everything we were doing, but we were
deep.
We were deep as hell. Not only were we a four-piece rap group, But then we also had a band attached to us. We had a drummer, two keyboardists, and a DJ who doubled as a bass player, played bass and guitar. I mean, on a keyboard. So, you know, traveling different states, different cities as a unit. That shit is expensive.
Right. Yeah, for sure.
It's like Wu-Tang. You got eight hotel rooms, eight mics, whatever. You know, everything.
Traveling by yourself is expensive. Yeah.
Sure, right?
Especially at that time. It wasn't COVID traveling fees. Right.
So it's not like it wasn't necessarily life-changing. Life-changing in a lot of ways, but...
An experience.
Yeah, a hell of one. Hell of an experience.
Right, but it wasn't going to, like, set you up for the rest of your life.
It wasn't going to set my kids up. Right. You know what I'm saying? Right. So... and at the time, you know, we were having kids. I had one child already by the time Food Chain really started bubbling and was about to have a second one. And so not only was I, another member of Food Chain was, and then another one was, and then one got married, and then one moved to another state for a better opportunity, and so on and so forth. And just life, you know, life just happened.
Yeah, getting older.
No bad blood, nothing like that. No, like, you know... fallout arguments or no shit like that. You know what I'm saying? We got a group chat to this day. Like, we talk to each other pretty regularly.
That's
dope. You know what I'm saying? It's love with everybody. I do a lot of music business with Mike Coates, Mo Heat. C1 is still very active as an artist. He does big shit only. He does Fillmore with Michael Menerit and Ben A1 and big shit. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So everybody's still moving. It's still love across the board.
That's dope.
It's just, you know, time, man. Right. Time. We was rocking for like 5 years strong, five heavy years, every day.
And that's a big deal with that many members.
Yeah,
that's a long time too.
And it's true. You all have your own lives, and you had to. That was bound to happen, regardless. Yeah.
It's just inevitable.
Not like you can't get back together or anything. You know?
And we still had we've made music, you know, that nobody's heard since then. You know what I mean? We got probably an album worth of shit. Right now.
Let's go.
That nobody's heard.
Let's go.
Right, what's up? Right. We need to make something happen.
Hey, when I was talking to you the other night, I asked you, I was like, whenever you get the call, you're ready, you're on board, all ready to go. And you said, for sure. You ain't no questions.
No questions.
Pick it up where we left off and let's fucking do this shit.
It's what I grew up doing. It's what I've always done. So it's just a matter of just doing it. You know what I'm saying? I just choose to and prefer to do other things, like more things. You grow. You grow as a person. Exactly. You know, and like what your tastes are, what you have an affinity for.
And that's what I'm getting to right now. Now you're wearing a different hat.
Yeah.
And it's bubbling for you. I mean, you got a couple spots.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
a couple studios.
Dope, you know what I mean?
Got things going on.
A few rooms. We got a dope team, man. Shout out to my guy, Namek right here.
Namek.
Killing it.
Joey Wise. Ghost.
One of the ghosts, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We got some really dope. My man Ramsey. That's my right hand. You know what I'm saying? you know, we've been doing the other side of the coin for a while now.
Yeah.
I've become a prolific engineer. You know what I'm saying? I didn't really mention my solo career. I did have a solo career and did some pretty cool shit doing that. But like now, transitioning out of being a full-time rapper, now I wear
mastering people's
different
hat.
Yeah, yeah. I'm helping artists become better artists, become great artists. Not even just the engineering side. Like, I'm a producer. You know what I'm saying? I'm
like a finishing school.
Yeah, yeah. I show you. Like, I made a post about it. Not trying to sound cocky or anything, but like, if you're serious about your career, at some point, you have to come see me. You know, you have to come work with me,
right?
Because I'm gonna help you find your sound. Like, you have your sound. You know who you are as an artist, but I'm gonna help you like fine tune all the smaller details to make you a viable artist in whatever arena you want to be, whether it's like, you know, you want to be a commercial artist or you want to be, you know, an R&B artist, you want to make street rap, whatever you want to do, I'm going to show you how to become the best at that.
Right.
You're going to bring the best out of you.
For sure.
You know what I mean? Because I was there the other day, and that's exactly what you're doing, man. You're just teaching, and I was like, damn, this shit is dope. Like, he's just teaching the young homie,
like
you
a finishing school, bro, for real.
He's getting it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm about to find my way in there, bro.
I've helped a lot of people. Helped a lot of people.
For sure. I'm about to find my way in there, for real.
Come fool with me, man. I've helped not even just with my own camp or with Food Chain. Like, I've helped a lot of artists that you've heard of reach, you know, higher levels with their craft. So.
Right.
That's where we at it now.
They got you over there at the barbershop, you know what I mean? Recording A-Meezy, and his shit's turning out crazy.
Shout out A-Meezy, man. Shout out Mondo. Shout out John. Shout out everybody, bro.
Shout out Barbershop.
Shout out.
Awesome. It's my guys over there. And yeah, Meezy's doing some crazy shit. I can't wait to see. Well, yeah, I can't wait to see what the reactions are.
Meezy's been spazzing for
people
real.
People are crazy.
I can't wait
too. He's getting it. He's got some super dope shit. Protect your energy coming soon.
Like you said, you've been working with everyone in the city. You're talking about a lot of people, man.
Everybody. I'm behind a lot of records. A lot of the big records. You know
what
I'm
saying? Yeah, when I met you in the studio, you were working with AP and Miracle and Nay.
Yep. I've worked with Nay very, very, very closely. AP, I produced or engineered his last three albums. Yeah. I did a lot of Trev's shit in his last projects. A lot of Trev's big songs, I also had a hand in engineering them. Ray Reed, Ox Dior, Av Grimm.
This goes on and on.
Everybody. Insane. Everybody.
And adding to it.
Yeah.
Is there somebody you would like to work with in Denver?
Somebody I'd like to work with?
An artist?
You're working with everybody.
Yeah.
Fresh.
What about national artists?
National artists that I'd really like to work with? Yeah. I'd love to work with somebody like a Kendrick Lamar.
Yeah.
Like a Post Malone even. I like to see people's processes, you know what I'm saying? How they create. I've heard some interesting stories of how like Schoolboy Q creates or like how such and such creates, and I think it's super dope. And I'd like to just kind of get more of those, you know what I'm saying? More experiences like that with bigger artists.
Yeah.
I've done some, but
Is it different even in the city of style, like the way people, their process?
Oh, fuck yeah.
In the city, it's like everybody has their own different.
Oh, yeah, everybody has their own way. What I see a lot of is a lot of the young guys are freestyling. They don't write anything.
They just go.
And it's punching in. Bar for bar, or two bars at a time. They come
and
up with
record
two.
In the studio,
you run it back. You run it back. You run it back. And then
they
come up with
the next. They'll say like two bars and be like, all right, hey, punch me in right
Let's
there.
Let's go back right there.
I think that's dope. And then like you know, as the engineer, it's your job to make it sound like you're not doing
it. It's on the spot, creative. Yeah, you have to make it sound like that's not what's happening.
But good freestylers can come up with amazing stuff right on the spot because you're just being in that moment and like. So I respect that. That's why I love hip hop because of freestylers always since I was a kid. So
that's the purest form of expression in this art form.
And it's real, and you have to have skills.
Hell yeah,
motherfucker for that.
I know like two guys out of all the artists I engineer. I know two guys that can fluently freestyle for like 30 minutes straight. And with impressive lyrics the whole time. Not
bullshit.
A bunch of filler.
We should invite them here and they can freestyle. That would be so amazing.
I can definitely get them
some
both.
Some supernatural type shit.
Yeah, for real. And then they're friends. They know each other. So I've watched them individually rap forever together. And then together rap forever.
I have a homie like that, bro, and he just will not come out of his basement. He has his family. He don't do nothing else. But he freestyle for fucking hours straight. Ridiculous shit.
Yep,
that shit is dope to me, man.
It's so tight, bro. It's so tight to see that shit.
Great talent.
Yeah,
I try in the car and shit.
It's inspiring.
Be rolling by myself, spitting just some instrumentals and shit.
It's hard to do, and then it's even harder to translate that on a microphone.
Oh, to record that?
Hell yeah, it's hard. Bro. It's hard to do, like for an artist.
It's like, what did I say?
Different, yeah. It's different as hell. But now I see a lot of guys doing the punch for punch. There's still some people that write, you know what I mean? But a lot of guys, like I want to
say back in the day,
8 out of 10.
That's how it was for me, man. Everyone in the studio, they just always just wrote their shit right there. No one really ever came back or took tracks. They were just right there, big old sesh. You know what I mean?
But do you have an artist that like easiest to work to? Somebody who just like lazy.
One
to
Jake
work with?
Take.
Who's the easy?
AP.
Really?
Yeah. AP by far.
AP.
Or Trev Rich too though. Trev Rich is
Trev
is a one take.
Yeah. Got some shit.
And like we'll like when I say one take, like I heard it for about 5 minutes. And then I went in there and I did 16 bars. Or I just laid a fire ass hook, one take.
Damn.
He does shit like that. AP2.
That's dope.
That's fucking sick.
That.
Yeah.
Just gifted.
It's
with
dope,
the pen.
Man. The city's fucking going wild right now. We have some real talent here. And, you know, we need to really expose that to the public here, man.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, we do.
They just need to hear it. You know?
For real talk.
You just have to hear it, man.
That's it.
That was our thing. That was, like, at the time, we figured out the cheat code. It was give this shit away. We're gonna have to spend some money, obviously, to make these, produce all these, these CDs get it out or whatever. But
yeah, but ain't nothing.
I want you to hear this more than I want you to pay me
for. But now it's great. We could just send the YouTube link. Send the, you know.
Yeah. It's just people gotta have the attention span for it, or have the interest in it. You know what I mean? What now? What is the secret now? You know what I mean? Like, how do you get somebody to press play?
Right.
A lot of that's how that's what, you know, people trying to figure out with being viral on the internet. It's like doing some off the wall extreme shit to make a person press play. You can do that with the music too. It's just about how
pick your shit up on TikTok.
You got little ass kids these days. You got to explore all your outlets.
Yeah, everything.
You can't just be on Facebook and think that you're gonna blow up tomorrow.
It was Super. Was it Super dropped the album on Game Boy?
Oh shit!
Yeah,
that's shit dope.
Pretty dope. Yeah, shit that's like dope. That. Like, it's
you gotta think out the box,
outside
man.
The box, man.
Right. OT Genesis dropped a song on Pornhub.
Oh, see, I saw.
Damn,
crazy there shit, you go. Bro.
Pornhub.
Crazy shit.
And but like, it got a crazy amount of views, and it was publicized because he dropped it on Pornhub. Like,
damn.
Just the amount of exposure it got just for doing some
headlines, you know,
something out the box. Shit, right? Yeah.
Damn.
That's what it takes right now. It's just understanding how it works now. You know what I mean? It worked that way then. It works different now.
Right. That's why.
All the information's out there, too.
Yeah, it's all at your fingertips. Yeah. You know?
I was just telling him the other day or yesterday, like, the key to finding or being, like, resourcefulness is knowing the keywords, you know what to ask for, knowing what questions to ask. If you ask the right question. Sure. You'll get the right answer, and the answer is
the information's there.
Yeah, it's really there.
The answer's
all
there.
The information. Right. You know what I'm saying?
You just got to filter through a lot of bullshit, too.
Oh, yeah, plenty of bullshit. Look, definitely try to, you know, find a trusted source for your information.
Yeah, don't be fucking just believing some fool off YouTube.
Yeah, and then, you know, sometimes you got to pay for that information, and if you're serious about it, pay
what
it weigh.
To you, you
pay what it weigh.
Exactly.
Real shit. That's the only way you're really going to get ahead with this shit. Like, really understanding the mechanics, the inner workings of it.
You got to educate
yourself. That's
yourself.
Yourself.
How do you market yourself?
How do you market yourself? I tell people that all the time. Like, you are the iPhone. You are, you know what I'm saying, this preamp. You're that box of weed right there.
Yeah.
There was a lot of thought that went into that before it was seen by anybody.
Right.
The colors, the shape of the box, the shape of the jar, everything. And so you got to put that same type of effort and thought into whatever you're doing.
Yeah, you have to.
Right.
You have to. You get out of it what you put in.
100%.
Talking about, like, colors and shit, you design shoes, gear, all kinds of shit. Yeah, you were showing us the other night.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're about to get down.
I know.
Yeah,
for sure, man. Yeah.
Talk about that.
Be good collab coming soon, man. So, like, that's just, like I was saying before, like, you grow into other things. Like, I always had been in the shoes and shit like that since I was a kid. Nobody in my family could ever afford the shit, so when I was finally able to get them, I fell in love with them and went crazy. Right. And so that just blossomed into, you know, I always wanted to design shoes. Who didn't, you know what I'm saying? Especially with, like, stuff like Nike ID, where you can go in and change the colors and shit.
Right.
I took it that step further, like, okay, how can I actually make one of these, though? What does it take to make
my own brand?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I was just dedicated to it, man. I've been developing, like, actively developing shoes for almost a year. And I have a few models, a few designs that I've already cooked up and I'm about to have available for purchase. And the brand itself is called Great Fortune. It's just centered around, like, the ideas of, like, superstition, like luck, bad luck. And just like the whimsical, the fantasy behind it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think it's something that plays a part in your life daily in one way or another, you know what I mean? Yeah. And so I kind of just want to highlight that with the brand that I'm creating. And so I got some shit coming soon, man, and different collections, different ideas that are just fashion-related, you know what I mean? Just I'm a creative just beyond just the music part, you know what I'm saying? So
a creator.
Yeah, just a creator in general.
Of many
Of many things. Were a couple
even,
of
children.
Even children.
Even kids.
Just had a child. Yeah. Shout out to my son, Jet.
Congrats.
Jet, man.
4 months. 4 months old.
Oh, damn.
5 months on the third.
Yeah, congrats again.
Thank you, man.
Already teaching him how to engineer and shit, huh? Does he like loud music, at least?
Yeah, he's already into the music. We used to put headphones up to to him on the womb, you know what I'm saying? Hear the music, but yeah, he's my other children are also studio babies, you know what I'm saying? My son, my oldest, he's 13, almost 14, and he's a studio baby. He's been in the studio his whole life. Has made a couple songs himself and recently expressed that he wants to be an engineer. So
that's dope.
That's the next move for him, man. You know what I mean? Right. But I'll never force that shit on him. It's just he's right there.
Right.
So it's inevitable. Yeah. It's inevitable. Yeah. They'll probably all gonna be like that. And if not music, some form of creative something. You know what I mean? My daughter's she paints.
And
she's actually pretty good. She's seven. Damn. Wow. She's pretty good at it.
I mean, you are the influence of them, so I'm sure they
most definitely. I just always just preach like that empowering themselves.
Nurture that creativity, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just want them to empower themselves. Like, just know that you can literally do whatever you want.
Yeah.
Whatever it is that you want to do.
The sky's the limit.
That's what you got to do. Man. Yeah. I created this legacy that I've made outside of Food Chain, you know, just by, you know, being assertive and really like standing on what I want to do. You know what I'm saying? And I wouldn't have been able to do that without learning what I learned with Food Chain.
Right.
And then like
it's really, piece of the puzzle.
Yeah. Key piece. Huge.
Piece of the recipe.
Huge, humongous piece of the puzzle, man. Like I learned so much being with those group of guys, you know what I mean? We grew up together damn near, you know what I mean? Yeah. For real with the shit.
And like your brothers, bro.
Yeah, they are my brothers. They are my brothers. And yeah, man, like I just try to instill those same things that I learned during that journey into them now. Because if they can have that mindset I had then or learned then now, they'll be 50 million times bigger than I could ever imagine being. You know what I'm saying? Just wanting it more. Wanting it more.
That's dope. Hey, what's next level for FL?
Next level for FL is...
Because I throughout this whole interview, dog, you definitely fucking climbed up the ladder and you're not stopping. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure, man. I don't plan on stopping, man. I've had definitely some pretty big roadblocks down the way, but that shit will never stop what we're doing.
It motivates me. Goes harder.
Absolutely, bro. I can't quit it. And especially for the people that would love to see me, to let that be my end all be.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Can't let it happen.
Can't let it.
Next level for FL is just next level for my brand. You know, I don't really focus so much on myself at all. I really try to bring everybody up that I work with. This collective, this brand that we've created, it's so much bigger than me. And so, you know, I try to influence my young guy right here. Producer,
prodigy,
artist,
over here.
Engineer, extraordinaire. You know what I'm
blunt roller extraordinaire.
One of a couple.
Yeah. 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 Wood right here. This shit right here.
The
wood master.
I
just try to instill the values in them, like the shit that I learned, you know. The engineering, that's how you, I think as an engineer, that's an edge on being an artist and a producer. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's like understanding, like all that shit. All the beats and the rap, it all comes back to engineering. You know what I'm saying? You can be the dopest rapper over the dopest beat, and if that shit is engineered shitty,
that's whack.
It's gonna sound like it.
It's gonna sound amateur. You know what I mean? And then with great mixing, great engineering, great guidance, you can make something that's super simple sound like $1 million.
For real. You know
I mean, saying? There's a lot of garbage out there that was just really done well.
Yeah. Done well. Done well, yeah, man. That shit makes a difference, man. And so with that, they got the competitive edge on all the other markets because now they're becoming amazing engineers. You know what I'm saying? My man's is doing, he's working with some of the bigger artists in the state. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And they appreciate, they admire, yeah, they appreciate him for all his talents. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, shout out Mo, man. Yeah. And that's what I'm on, man. Really just trying to empower these young guys and empower my team to do the dopest shit they can, because together, we're all doing the dopest shit we can. It makes us look hella good.
Right.
Oh, yeah. That's it, man. You know, it's like, how do we expand? Denver's never really been too big of a music scene. Nobody really blew up out of here. Like, not like New York, not like Cali. You
never
know?
Hit national, like, like superstar.
Exactly. And so how do we do that? You know, it's doing something that we haven't done. Mm-hmm. And everybody coming together and showing love and promoting each other and supporting each other, man. We need to support that local shit because there really is some fire out here.
There's super dope, man.
Fire.
I run into most of it, man. I know I got the pulse of the city. Like, I really know what's happening. And there's a lot of great shit coming out of here, man. It's just a matter of getting it out here and, like, really pushing your line. Like, if you go somewhere else, they just work differently and matching that energy, matching
the
that
experience.
Same type of work. Right. Yeah. I mean, one of the first things I ever seen going out of town was when I was in Atlanta. I was in Atlanta for a festival for the A3C Festival, the All Three Coast Festival. Mm-hmm. And there was a female there who is now, I can't remember her name, but she's actually a popular artist like in the South now. She had a club night. And so for her club night, I had no idea who she was before this moment. For her club night, she had four or five people outside with billboards, like posters. And they had them in their hands, and they were like light up LEDs, and they changed to different images and shit like that. And then she also had a backpack on, and the backpack had the same thing on the other side. So if she's standing this way, she's showing everybody in front of her, this person, this is her night, and then behind everybody behind them sees it as well. And it was like four or five of these people out there.
Yeah.
And then there's a van out front, like one of those vans that's just like for advertising, has like a really thin like board right in the middle of it, or like a screen in the middle of it. One of those with the same thing that was on the flyers that the people was holding up. And then when she pulls up in the Sprinter with her name and face all over that. And then inside the club, they're playing her music back and, you know, back like five times.
Back to back.
They play a song and then play a couple more and then play her shit again. And then later on down the night, now they announce her shit. Now it's, you know, this is her song. They already been playing it, but now they've announced the single.
Right.
The DJ's running it back three, four times. Yeah. She's just doing so much more to make her presence felt than I've seen happen in Colorado.
It's them impressions, bro.
It's the type of thing that you have to do. Like, you got to make those impressions. And then when you do that, you know, make sure that they're seeing how they can find you on the internet, how they can lock in with you after this.
So easy nowadays, too. You got the QR codes. You got the
all that shit, man.
Every way you can.
And so it's just about that, man. It has to be a concerted effort to really put someone or a group of people on.
Right.
And I think that's really the only thing that Denver's lacking. I don't think it's lacking any. It's no shortage on financing something.
It's the promotion behind it.
It's the promotion behind it. And the time that needs to be spent doing it.
Right.
Exactly.
Right,
yeah. The grind time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's it.
Hell yeah, bro. Well, shit, man. We definitely appreciate you coming on by, you know, the Smoking Joe Thunder podcast. You got any last kind of comments or any shout outs, man?
Thank y'all for having me. I'm high as a motherfucker.
We ain't even smoked. We ain't even started yet, bro. Yeah, no, we still got Dynamic interview right here.
She's about to be real.
I know.
And I don't really never get to talk about this type of shit. You know, I'm really a forward-thinking person. You know what I'm saying? So it's dope to, like, reflect on this shit. So thank y'all for having me.
Thank you, bro.
Shout out to everyone.
You're definitely part of history. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Man, thank you, man.
Yeah, and I really, I thought you were really a legend before I knew all this about you. Now I'm like, damn, I was right.
That's dope. That's hella dope. And, man, just be looking for more stuff that we're doing. Look for YJM, the consultant firm, you know what I'm saying, with all the different, we have songwriters, producers, DJs, video people. Sick. We can help with the vision. And then definitely check out District Audio if you're an artist in search of a recording home. We're going to get you sounding right, man. Yeah. And definitely come down to Be Good for all your marijuana or cannabis. Shout out to the podcast, man. Yeah, y'all have had some dope ass people on here before me, what I'm finding out. So I'm honored to even be on here amongst the other, you know, guests that y'all have. Shout out to y'all.
Appreciate you coming through.
Shout out to y'all.
Hell yeah, appreciate it, man. Well, shit. Once again, you know what I'm saying? We got you another banger, got you some history, got you some dope shit.
Hell yeah. Smoking with Joe Thunder podcast.
Be Good Dispensary, DJ C. You can find us on all platforms. We're on even more platforms now. You could actually get these episodes on YouTube, iHeart, Pandora, Spotify, Amazon Music. The list goes on and on. You can find us everywhere. We're about to take over, if y'all know.
Yo.
We out of here.
Peace.
Peace.
Yo, Gump.